The name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him may not perish but may have eternal life. This verse, John 3:16, is one of the most often quoted verses from the Bible. Right next to it is an equally powerful verse. Indeed, God did not send the Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. We do not often hear this verse because this is not very helpful for those who hold the theology of exclusion, which maintains that all who are not born again in the fundamentalist sense of the term will be perished. The salvation offered in Jesus out of God's love for the whole world is to save them and not to use as a tool to condemn them. John has these verses placed at the climax of a conversation between Jesus and Nicodemus. Nicodemus was a Pharisee, a leader of the Jews and a member of the Sanhedrin, came to Jesus under the cover of the night, hoping that the darkness would give him some protection from the probing eyes of his colleagues and the public. Being seen with Jesus can be costly for a public figure like Nicodemus. Still, Nicodemus longed to see Jesus and to engage him in a conversation to remove the darkness of his sight and his perspectives. Nicodemus knew who Jesus was intellectually, and using rational categories, he tried to understand the mechanics of rebirth that Jesus was talking about. He was unable to figure out what it means to be reborn from his vantage point of physicality. It was then Jesus invited him to enter into a spiritual realm, which requires spiritual sight to see. Jesus explains the only way he can experience rebirth is to have his sight restored through the forgiveness of his sins. The God he believes is a loving God. And this God loves Nicodemus so much so that he gives his only son Jesus, who was speaking to him at that very moment, for his rebirth and entrance into the kingdom of God. Just as God is a loving God, he is also a giving and forgiving God. God freely gives, and he is ever so willing to forgive us of our sins. God sees us as his children who need his forgiveness and not his condemnation. God longs for relationship with us. He wants us to take a leap of faith and trusting in his goodness. He wants us to put our hand into God's hand and move forward with God leading us into the future. Remember seeing the Oscar-winning movie The King's Speech? It is about how the stuttering and reluctant Duke of York becomes King George VI, and how he overcomes his speech impediment and gives an impressive speech at the end of the movie. This is a great movie. If you haven't seen it, I recommend that you see it. However, this movie misses his greatest and most famous speech, the one he gave on the eve of the first day of 1940. The air over England was heavy with fear and foreboding. Blitz of the horrors of London just ahead. King George VI spoke these words. And I said to the one who stood at the gate of the year, "Give me a light that I may tread safely into the unknown." And he replied, "Go out into the darkness and put your hand into the hand of God. That shall be to you better than lights and safer than a known way." It was not King George alone who went out into the darkness and put his hand into the hand of God. When he left his country, Abraham was in the dark. He did not have a road map or a GPS that would take him to the land God will show him. All he had was the invisible hand of God. Apostle Paul was in the dark for 3 days when he was blinded on the Damascus road. And then he was led by the hand on the way. Nicodemus of our gospel lesson was in the dark when he encountered Jesus and learned his way into the kingdom. He learned to trust the leading of God's hand. In all these cases, what we see is an extraordinary demonstration of their absolute faith in God. Jesus says, "You cannot see the kingdom of God unless you are born from above or born anew. The only way we can enter the kingdom of God is to have our sight restored through the forgiveness of our sins." Do we need our sights restored? Do we see the need to be forgiven by God, by our fellow human beings, and by the nature that we abuse? Do we need to forgive someone who hurt us, who bullied us, abused us, or exploited us? Just as God is a loving God, He's a giving God, and He's a forgiving God. And just as He is a loving and giving and forgiving God, we also need to be a loving and generous and a forgiving people. God's hand of forgiveness is extended to us. Do we put our hand into the hand of God and begin a relationship? And just as we put our hand into the hand of God, do we stretch out our hands to others and bring them also into that relationship? Jesus said, "Be merciful just as your Father is merciful. Forgive and you will be forgiven." Friends, reconciliation with God and with fellow human beings is a prerequisite for worshiping God. Jesus told his followers that if they went into the temple to pray and remember a grudge they were holding against someone, they should leave their gift at the altar and go and be reconciled first. Forgiveness is a challenge. Yes, it goes against our natural instincts. When we are hurt, our instinctive response is to fight back, to retaliate. According to Gandhi, forgiveness is the virtue of the brave. Poet Alexander Pope wrote these famous words, "To err is human, and to forgive is divine." But forgiving is in our best interest. To not forgive someone is allowing that person to continue to have an upper hand on our life, which will eventually turn into resentment. Nelson Mandela, after spending 26 years in Robben Island prison in South Africa, felt bitter towards his captors. However, he was determined to claim his inner freedom, to give to forgive and not to resent. He said, resentment is like drinking poison and waiting for it to kill your enemy. Forgiveness is also a gift. It frees us, it liberates us. Family counselor Ernie Larson says, there is nothing that so deadens the soul or so retards spiritual growth, freedom, and liberation than carrying around a heavy, stinging bag of resentment. Forgiveness is a precious gift. It is a gift either way. Whether you are forgiving someone or you are being forgiven, it is a gift. It begins with us. We must forgive ourselves first for not always doing the right things or saying the right things, for not always meeting our expectations. But if God can forgive us, we certainly can forgive ourselves. Then it's a gift that we give to others. It means forgiving not just small things, even though we can start with that. Forgiveness is really means forgiving the unpardonable, as G.K. Chesterton notes, otherwise it is no virtue at all. Finally, it is a gift we seek from God and from others. To say these words, "I am sorry," is indeed very, very difficult. Irma Bombeck says, there is only one thing harder in this world than forgiving. It is to ask forgiveness, armed only with, "I am sorry." Friends, our God is ever so ready to forgive us. He is waiting with his hands stretched out to embrace us back to him. And may we also have that same grace to do the same thing for others.